In a world full of distractions, there is one big question on every dog owner's lips.
How do I become more than just the person holding the other end of the leash?
We all get dogs with a dream in mind, a vision of the future. And if right now your everyday reality isn't quite that picture you had in mind, you are in the right place.
It really doesn't have to be this way.
You absolutely can and will be more to your dog than just the person who gets in between them and the world.
The key is you need to be more sexy.
More sexy than the neighbourhood cats.
More sexy than the jogger in the park.
More sexy than that half-eaten hamburger they just found on the floor.
And yes, even more sexy than the dog across the road.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Lauren.
Together we're Absolute Dogs.
And you're listening to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. Welcome to the Sexy and a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that gives you real life dog training and sometimes human training results too. Now, today we're talking a really, really, really common and I suppose typical problem of majority of owners in the UK and worldwide when they first get their puppy. The problem we are talking today on is puppy biting. Ouch, it hurts. Literally, it is painful. Ow! And they literally...
No, I was the dog.
Oh, okay. I was the human. They literally are little demons possessed when they bite. Now, Tom, we were just talking about this, and it's actually something that we don't often experience. And I don't think it's because... Calm down. I don't think it's because the dog isn't likely to bite or the puppy isn't likely to bite. I think it's just that we've had dogs for long enough and we've managed this for long enough and we know how the systems kind of work. We know how we're training. We just don't set ourselves up for the problem. So let's go for a quick tips tennis.
Yep.
Top 10, 5, 7. Let's go for it. Let's see how we go. How do we manage this puppy biting?
Cool. First one. How do we want our puppies to interact with us? And I think the more different ways you can teach your puppy to interact with you in an appropriate way, actually, the less they pick biting from their repertoire. So, for example, you might teach them a middle, right, where they come and stand between your legs. That, weirdly in itself, is making it less likely that your puppy's going to go into mouthing and biting. Maybe it's a lie on a boundary at my side. Maybe it's a touch your nose to my hand, that nose target behavior, which if you've never done that with your dog, never played that game, there's a great video on our YouTube channel that you can check out that shows different ways to progress it and grow it. The key is the more almost like conversations you have with your puppy that are also loads of fun, that are not biting and mouthing, the less likely your puppy is to have that conversation with you and choose that conversation of their own accord.
Stop Press. It's our brand new book. It's Game on Puppy. And it's not just for puppies.
It's for every dog owner who wants to move from where they are right now to that dream that made them get a dog in the first place. And when you pre-order right now, you also get access to the Perfect Pet Dog online program and a £25 coupon that you can use across the Absolute Dogs store. All you've got to do is head to absolutedogs.me/gameonpuppy.
Next one for me, and I think this is really, really important, really, really vital, in fact, make sure your dog has got enough to do. So make sure that puppy does have enough to do and enough to do in the right spaces. So I was working with a puppy last weekend. We were traveling, and so the pup was in a crate for a while. When we did get to where we were going to, and I was traveling the dog for a friend, and when we did get to where we were going to, I actually said, you know what, let's not have you in a crate for a minute. Let's have you exploring the garden. I'm going to scatter some kibble. You go exploring for half an hour. I'm going to do my emails. I'm going to sit here with my feet on the bench, so sat on the bench, with my feet on the bench. I did my emails. Puppy wandered for a good 30 minutes. Puppy exhausted themselves to the point I found them asleep in the daffodils, picked them up, popped them back into the crate for a rest. And then actually we've given them enough opportunity to do the thing that enriches them.
Yeah.
I think often when they bite, they often have got themselves into a space where they're no longer calm, or they've either had one of normally two or three things. One, they've not had enough to do. Two, they've had way too much to do.
Yeah.
Or three, they've been given way too much of the wrong opportunity, like you've sat there with your feet on the floor. Mm. Well, of course, you're going to sit there with your feet on the floor. The puppy is going to come over and sniff the feet and try and chew the feet, and you're going to go, ow! And when you go, ow! Then the dog goes, ooh! And so suddenly we've got this interaction of, ooh, ow, ooh, ow! And actually it's starting to get very, very fun. And no longer do we have calmness and decorum. We actually have this like heightened state of arousal. Put children into the mix, and then all of a sudden it turns into, ooh, ow, 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 yeah, wee, mum! And so suddenly this situation turns into something that it never was before. And now suddenly it's like chaos. And so the puppies kind of almost created this, but so have you. So I think my concern is, has the puppy got enough to do, or has the puppy got too much to do? Finding that fine balance. As you know, here at Absolute Dogs, we ditch the bowl. Whether you feed raw or whether you feed kibble or whatever you feed, we feed a mixture of both. And we feed home-baked and we really do feed a variety for our own dogs. What I would say is finding appropriate things for your dog to do that grow them in the right direction, which is calmness, and take them away from the wrong direction, which is arousal and excitement and nipping and biting. That's where it's at. Now, there's a lot of information there. Take over.
Next up would be being aware that your puppy might be teething, yeah? And certainly their mouth, their jaw will be growing and their teeth will be being reshuffled, even if they're not actually changing their teeth. And also being aware that you're probably going to read books that say, oh, that happens between 12 and 16 weeks of age. That can happen from 7 weeks right through to 9 months in reality when you look at the individual variation. And so you kind of always got to assume maybe that might be the case if this is becoming, you know, increasingly a challenge and they're actively really wanting to like put things in their mouth and chew things and gnaw on things. Are we giving them opportunity that is appropriate to do that, right? Are we effectively guiding them to how we want them to kind of satisfy that need? And that might be, you know, stuffed bones or stuffed Kongs or really any kind of like treat dispenser stuffed so that they've effectively got an appropriate way to do that. Equally, long-lasting chews are going to be really important in that process, and you want to have opportunity to, one, interrupt them from doing that, and that is quite simply just by distracting them away from your hand. But then where are you going to guide them to? What are you going to guide them to? Are you going to guide them to a boundary to calmly be fed on the boundary? Are you going to guide them actually to a long-lasting chew? Because you look at them and you're like, you really need to like have something in your mouth right now, and you're uncomfortable. The key is that you've got to have, you can't be reactive as a puppy owner, yeah? Because that, you know, often you end up with creating a reactive puppy. If you yourself are reactive, actually be proactive. Sit the family down and say, right, we're going to do this and we're going to have a plan and we're going to have an if-then plan. If puppy mouths me, then I am going to do X, Y, Z, yeah? So that you're being proactive in training.
For example, a lot of people would worry that we were teaching the puppy potentially the wrong thing here. But say puppy was to bite my feet, I would have a handful of kibble and I would scatter that kibble away from my feet, or a handful of homemade, home-baked stuff, and scatter it away from my feet and throw it in the other direction whilst I replace my feet somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I would place a management level there, into shoes, onto the sofa, out of the way of said biting shark. I would have a management level that for sure isn't perfect, because I have just thrown food in when the dog bit my feet, but I'm not teaching the dog to bite my feet and I throw food. I'm managing the situation to not get more of it and to not to escalate the situation into an arousal situation where you get a dog who's literally like so excited and jumping and yipping and nipping. But also, I've managed myself so I'm not upset by it or excited by it or going, ah, it's all exciting or it's all crazy, which is what owners tend to do. And then it just tends to escalate it. So have a management strategy in place. And loads of people say management isn't training. Well, management absolutely is training, because what management is doing is preventing your dog rehearsing what you don't want. And when your dog is rehearsing what you don't want, you're going to grow more of what you don't want. And if you keep growing more of what you don't want, your dog will be learning what you don't want. What we want to do is the exact opposite. Let's rewind that back here and let's go, actually, what we want to rehearse is our dog in calmness. What we want to see is our dog in a better headspace. What we want to do is practice our dogs not biting our feet and our dogs actually being able to, whether that's chill out in the room, whether it's chew on an appropriate chew, whether it's sit on a bed, whether it's do some appropriate training, whether it's go to sleep in a crate, go to sleep in a puppy pen, go and hang out in the garden with some scattered food and be hanging out on your own and exploring Dora the Explorer. All of those things are really, really lovely and appropriate. So what we want to do is we want to grow in that direction. If we have blips where we left our tootsies on the floor and our dog found those quite exciting as we wriggled our toes, then that is also our blip, because our dog doesn't know right or wrong. It's just like a baby giving them keys to a Porsche. They don't know what to do with that Porsche. And if you put the keys in their hand, then they'll probably fiddle. The thing is, with your feet on the floor, your dog is going to look for what they can do. What you need to do is think about how we can manage those interactions between things that might be biteable or edible to our dogs and actually how we're managing ourselves. And I think this is the big thing. Our dogs don't know any better. We are the ones that teach our dogs. And if your dog is particularly interested by movement or interested in anything that might be exciting, then you almost have to be extra vigilant to be pretty calm with doing that. And I, like, for example, with a young border collie puppy, I would give them a bottle with some kibble inside it so they can move it around the house and they can play with that. Giving them things that they can do. Given if I put them in the garden, I always scatter a handful of food for my dogs. Mm-hmm. I just always think they've got something to snuffle for at least the first few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, I think that, you know, the common theme with all of that is this is an opportunity for your dog to learn all kinds of cool stuff, an opportunity for your for you to really almost say, right, how do I want my days with my dog to look? Once you've decided that, you create it. Replace the what don't I wants with what do I wants. That was this episode of the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. We will see you next time. And remember,
stay sexy.
Stop right there.
Before you go, guys, have you pre-ordered your copy of Game On Puppy? Because when you do, you're going to get some exclusive bonuses, gifts from us. The first one, the perfect pet dog program.
Literally worth over £47. You're going to get this included as soon as you purchase your copy of Game On Puppy, because we want to give you all of the tips, tricks, hacks, secrets that we know to creating the perfect pet dog. It's a digital course. It's an online course. You can access it all over the world. And it's our video program of what we do with dogs to create our perfect pet dog.
And the second thing that you're going to get is a £25 voucher from us that you can use in the Absolute Dog store against anything digital. So guys, all you got to do is head to absolutedogs.me/gameonpuppy, pre-order your copy, let us know that you pre-ordered your copy, and we'll get those exclusive bonuses to you.